Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the 12 Days of Dishmas by Dish Island. Every single day for the first 12 days of December, we are giving you a mini episode with an incredible guest. I'm Paul Verhoeven.
I'm Tegan Higginbotham, and Paul, I've been trying to find my presents.
What do you mean?
Well, I know they're somewhere in the house. It's December. They must be here. I've been looking.
Oh, right. Oh, I meant to pick those up.
Paul!
I'm sorry. Look, to get away from this very awkward and frankly scary topic, can you please introduce today's guest?
Well, it's actually perfect that you brought him up because he is going to chat with everybody about the do's and don'ts of gift giving at Christmas. Mm. But for now, he is a mainstay on Melbourne's electronic music scene and the host of the beloved dance music show Coburg Up Late. It's Callum Padgham, aka DJ Be Kind to Other People. And he is a man who knows how to party well. But he also has some very big opinions on the etiquette of bad gift giving. Paul, don't look at me. At Christmas time. And he has a desert island Christmas dish that I think is going to be an instant crowd pleaser. Please welcome Callum Padgham.
I have something I've been dying to ask you, right? Back in like 2012, I saw footage of Paris Hilton DJing, and I'm using the rabbit fingers here, DJing.
Yeah, yeah. I saw the rabbit fingers vividly when you said it.
Yeah, the hateful air rushing against the mic. It's palpable.
DJing.
But, beautiful.
Oh my God.
That was haunting and gorgeous. But so she's, Tegan, I'm not sure if you've seen this footage, but Paris Hilton, God bless her, she has a MacBook. Right, a MacBook Air and a pair of headphones, and she's like pretending to mix, but she's sort of just like bopping around. Now, my question is, in regards to this TikTok thing where you think, all right, people are getting tech and they can kind of use it to make you obsolete.
Mm. Which is why they're doing it, just to be clear.
Yeah, that's their agenda. But as a DJ, are you at all worried that any old Paris Hilton could whack out a MacBook Pro and just sort of play a playlist? And what's the discernible difference to you, who is a goddamn artist?
Oh, well, that's really beautiful of you to say that I'm a goddamn artist. I resent the term artist, but I am goddamned. Modern technology is, across all disciplines and all creative disciplines, is empowering every monkey to pick up a typewriter and write Shakespeare. And I think that applies for Paris Hilton as well. And I think bloody good on her. And I think she kind of, who am I to say that she isn't an artist? And who are we to say that I am? Like, I feel like this could be like totally reductive here, but I genuinely do believe that we are all artists. And I think it's up to the listener or the audience to discern whether it's art for them or not. So power to Paris.
Wow. Look, I don't know if you've met my family, but I will staunchly refute the idea that everyone is an artist. But on that note, it's not even a related note.
Hey, speaking of family, we should talk about Christmas.
We should. Actually, there was the really obvious segue just staring me right in the face. Callum, are you a fan of Christmas?
Yes, I love Christmas. It's such a fun time of the year. I love going to Lygon Street, Carlton, 3 days before Christmas and feeling like it's Christmas and walking into readings and buying an estranged family member a book. I love Christmas.
What's your price limit when you're buying someone that you're kind of but not really close to a book? Are you, is like a 30, 50, 75?
Paul, you get so angry with me with the money that I spend on people at Christmas.
I don't get angry. I just think you go, all right, well, while I'm here, I may as well. Right, so you don't follow the price limit. You follow the perfect gift for the person, yeah. Even if the person is never going to get you anything anywhere even equivalently good.
Do you know why you're going to double hate me this year?
Why?
Well, because we're kind of having to celebrate our Callum, our Christmas in two parts. We're going to do a mini Christmas in Gippsland for half the family.
Oh, nice.
And then it's really exciting. We're going to go to Sydney and see most of Paul's family for the first time.
Wow.
And celebrate with them. But what this means is that some people are going to have one set of presents for the Gippsland party and then a second set of presents so they have something to open on Christmas Day for the second bit. Paul, all that money we've earned this year, it's gone.
Oh, God, two sets of presents, Tegan. Paul, you're kind of speaking about presents as though it was transactional. Do you, and I'm sorry to flip the interview on you for a moment, but do you believe that we should be getting gifts for the sole purpose of receiving them?
I don't know. My problem is, Cal, I get a lot of stuff. So I typically have, I think what I resent on principle is bad taste. So what?
You've got the wrong guest.
But you know when you get a gift that is, I don't care how much it costs, but there are certain gifts that mean something, right? They can be free, they can be $5,000. Like, if they mean something and if it's the right thing, then it's great. So what I kind of chafe against is just a dumb present that I'm not going to use. And because I have the weird ADHD thing going on, I find it, and Tegan can attest to this, I find it impossible to mask my revulsion at a bad present.
Yeah, you're a goddamn monster.
Oh, do you mean like in front of the gifter, the gifter? Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, wow. How is that, Tegan? How is that to deal with? Is that tough?
I'm going
to
reveal something. You know, it looks like we're all being quite candid. Yeah. We have once done a dress rehearsal where I got Paul to practice his opening the present faces at me so I could say, no happier. We practiced in advance what he would do with his face in case he didn't like the presents. And he turns out he did like the presents, so all that was wasted time.
Guys, but don't you ever worry being so candid on such a public forum? Like,
nah.
It's lucky, Tegan, that your family...
Don't listen! Oh my gosh,
but,
I know.
But how do you feel about, I mean, how do you react when you get a present that you do not want, Callum?
I think I've got a pretty good poker face, Paul. Right. Although now I need to be careful because anyone that I know and love and will receive a gift from, like, I'm going to try and be genuine. And like, okay, this is to anyone that has ever or is intending to get me a gift. Thank you in advance. And this gift genuinely does mean the world to me. Now, to speak candidly with you guys, I pretty much fake it every time.
No, really?
No.
I don't know. I feel like you might be actually telling the truth.
Can I ask you both a serious question? Oh. Look, if you get a thing that is dumb, right, then what purpose does it serve to pretend it's good? Because if it's, let's say there's something that is going to take up a lot of real estate, right? Like someone buys you a fucking sculpture for your front yard, right?
Okay.
A lot of money. It's huge. And they're really happy with it, but you do not like it. There's then this bullshit dance for years and years. We have to like find a place for it or bring it out every time they're visiting, whereas you can't all have a laugh at like, oh man, can I return this and get something out? Look, why can't we be honest? Is there
I think okay, Paul, yep, there's a lot of things you've got to take into account.
Yep.
One of those things being the intention of the person who bought it for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that you can put people's taste on trial every Christmas time.
Why not?
I also think that you're forgetting that we have chosen a very particular lifestyle, and that is a child-free lifestyle. Where we can frit away 4 hours on a weeknight just shopping for people and coordinating our gift wrapping and ribbon selections. That's not a luxury for most people. I mean, what is your thoughts on this, Callum? Basically, if you don't like a gift, should you be able to tell the person that you don't like it or give it back without fear of judgment and hate?
But don't we just think a gift is just a token of love? And like, by giving it back or telling someone you don't receive it, I think in a way you're kind of just saying, I don't understand the way that you love me. Or even more so, and sorry, Paul, this might sound brutal, but like, I don't understand you, you know? Like,
yes, but that's interesting now. But isn't a present that is dumb and doesn't hit the mark, isn't that then them showing that they don't understand me?
I mean, earlier you were talking about a fucking sculpture and I was just imagining that on my front lawn and I was like, gee, that feel like they understand me quite well.
I guess we could take this conversation one step further and say that there are situations where one feels obligated to buy a present for so many people.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's where it gets tricky. If Christmas was about choosing a very small handful of people that you know intimately, love very much, and just getting them gifts, maybe it would be fine. But it's that strange outer ring, the kind of let's just get them a candle and hope for the best sort of group. Maybe that's where we all need to...
not get them a candle.
Yeah, not get... We maybe need to step back from the consumerism, go back to the idea that just seeing them on Christmas might be enough and save probably hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Yeah. Do you think that Christmas has lost its way in that regard?
It's definitely very materialistic. But it's been materialistic for ages. I mean, when I think of Christmas, I don't necessarily think of gifts. I think of, like, feelings. I think of Vince Guaraldi's Charlie Brown Christmas album, and I think of the smell of gingerbread, and I think of what it feels like to be in front of a fireplace, because this whole country is a fireplace. But for me, yeah, Christmas, the presents maybe are a thing that sometimes they feel like a burden, right? And sometimes maybe the best thing to do is just get someone like food or something that'll be gone once it's been experienced, right?
Yes, which is a wonderful segue in itself, because I believe the best part about Christmas it is also consumerism, but I think in a really wholesome, nourishing way, is food.
What's your idea of a dream Christmas spread? Like, you rock up, is it a full day thing, and do you have multiple courses? Are you cooking any of it? Like, what is Christmas food for you?
Well, look, I know you're not specifically asking me right now what my desert island Christmas meal is, but I'd like to give you that answer now, if that's okay.
Do it. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, so in response to that, I think when I actually think about Christmas Day, what I'm really thinking about is Boxing Day, and that being specifically leftovers.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I think it's the next day, which is actually the golden era of not just Christmas food, but food in general. Because it's all of the best food, but none of the pressure, I suppose, to necessarily talk to anyone. I feel like the one time I'll stomach watching the Boxing Day test is when I'm stomaching my seventh ham sandwich for the morning.
Cal, I think you have hit onto something really special here, because you're absolutely right. Boxing Day is this golden moment where all of the obligations and responsibilities, the potential quarrels, it's all gone now.
The pressure's off, right? Don't you think that there's so much pressure the day before, like everything has to go right, the whole family well-being is riding on it.
Yeah.
But then it's out the window, you know, the next day.
You're just unlocking all of these really wonderful, happy memories of Boxing Day for me.
Good! Was Christmas unhappy, then Boxing Day was the inverse, or what?
I've got a super long and complicated history with relationship with Christmases, because there have been highs and there have been lows, but last year in particular it wasn't the most successful Christmas Day. There was a lot of emotions, I'm sure. I think this year as well, with things politically, socially, there are going to be a lot of heightened emotions for people this year as well. I'm really aware of that. But the day afterwards, we'd bought my dad a drone and we went down to the park. And it was that thing, it's as you're talking about.
So just to pause for a moment, Paul, is that a stupid gift?
A drone?
Yeah.
No, because Tegan's dad likes gadgets, is a child at heart, and enjoys the possibility of overhead surveillance. So we went down and we grabbed him a drone, and he was like, oh. And then he's flown it around a few times.
Yeah, no, he has actually. It was great fun. But you're right, we were just eating. We were just sitting there playing with our toys and eating, and it was great. So, okay, this is good, but I think I'm still going to need to push you here to narrow down, because in the plethora of leftovers, and there is a whole world of leftovers.
Well, right. It's literally anything, right?
It is. Now, for me, when I think a Christmas leftover, it's a cold turkey and cranberry sandwich. That's what it represents in my head.
Do you get like brie or something going on there?
I think you should.
Yeah, brie, turkey, cranberry, maybe some rocket. Yeah, white bread. Yeah.
Although, if we are talking strictly leftovers, like what are our rules here? Because I'm not sure if there was brie on the Christmas table the day before. Like, basically, how strict are we going with these leftovers? Is it just a turkey sandwich with cranberry? And was there any cranberry the day before, Tegan?
It's a very good question. I mean, if Anthony Femia, the cheesemonger, has anything to do with it, we will all have a course that involves cheese. So I think in our case, yeah, sure, I can picture there being a tiny sliver of leftover brie.
Great.
But the cranberry is a very, very interesting thing to put out.
Yes. So in answer to the question that you're about to ask, I became a veggie in lockdown, but I'm one of those lousy vegetarians who keeps inventing carnivorous loopholes.
Great. Yes, I think a lot of people will relate to that.
Well, actually, Paul, you might relate to that to some extent, because I, from being actually like a fervent listener of your podcast, I've noticed that you have a few loopholes yourself, Paul.
Where are you sitting? Like, what are your cheats?
So the first loophole is Christmas, yep, without a doubt. And then that loophole then extends to the following day, because I suppose if the animal's already dead from the day before, it's still going to be more dead the next day, but more tasty. for some reason. I don't know. It's like it's got that like congealed fat on it from the fridge overnight. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I do. That bit, it's kind of when you lift the meat off the plate, it sits there in a little yellow brownish ring.
And it goes... Mm.
And then you don't tell your family that you licked the plate and put it back.
You don't lick the plate, Cal. Oh, my God.
Nor do you tell your family, Tegan. So the actual dish itself, and I think this also certainly applies to Christmas Day, but I think that you were lying to me earlier when you said it was turkey, because I think the universal answer is ham.
But if you are having a leftover ham sandwich, like what else is in there?
Oh, that's good. Okay. Now, this also extends to what was on the leftover tables the day before. Mm. My family are quite generous, I suppose, with what's on the table the day before. So more often than not, there will be a lot of other stuff in that sandwich. I actually think the hero of the sandwich, beyond the ham, is the Master Foods hot English mustard.
Really?
Yeah.
And I love that you've done a little bit of a brand drop there as well. You are very specific.
You know, finally, even just talking about it right now, if I can just take you through what's happening in my body, like I'm having a physical reaction to thinking about that little... that little yellow jar sitting on the top shelf at Woolworths. Like, my mouth is watering, my body's contracting. Put that in me and on me right now.
That's arousal is what you're describing.
Either that or an allergic reaction. I'm not sure.
Oh my God.
Just want to know that somebody's at home with you right now.
Yeah, I just feel so sorry for my partners if this is arousal. Honey, bust out the hot English mustard.
So you've got hot English mustard, you've got ham. What's the bread situation?
I feel like I'm a bit of a bread snob and my family is too. I was raised the right way in that regard. So yes, it would be sourdough.
Okay, and you can't just have mustard, ham, and sourdough. Like, what else is in
there? I don't know. I'm sure. Why not? Why can't you do that?
You can. I'm trying to provoke you into bragging about what's in your sandwich.
Seems like you're telling me what I can't put on my leftover sandwich, Paul Verhoeven. You tell me, what are you putting on the sandwich?
No, what are you putting on the sandwich?
All right, I'm gonna break it up, guys. Break it up. Okay, Cal, I love it. I actually really do. And I think this celebration of leftovers and acknowledging the glory that is the day after Christmas really is something. The only reason I'm going to stand my ground on my turkey sandwich versus your ham sandwich.
Good. By the way, I do like that much of this podcast is an argument. That's good.
I love that we're having sandwich wars. This is what Dish Island really is. It's about coming together so we can divide quickly.
Oh, good. Is Darren Hayes still here?
Yeah, he's still here. He's still on the island. Yeah.
Good. Yeah, I'm hoping to kidnap him and revive Savage Garden for this year's Carols by Candlelight.
I feel that you guys will have quite the allegiance, but the only reason I'm going to push back is because, as we've heard from two of our other guests, Jared Madden, senior artist with the Australian Ballet, his Dish Island, his Desert Island dish was a ham, cheese and tomato toasty.
That's right.
So I feel that this is sort of an all year round thing, whereas one of the things I like about Christmas is that there are so few things, parents... If your kids are listening to this, I just want you to distract them for 2 seconds while I talk really candidly about a certain somebody who brings us presents every year. So once I stepped back from my faith and that I no longer believe in, you know, the baby Jesus story element of Christmas, nor do I believe that a man is going to break into my house at night and bring me presents, because Paul lives with me, so that he's the only one that would do that.
I let him in. It's not technically a burglary.
Once you lose those two fantastical elements, I find that therefore it becomes about finding your own meaning on that day. And sure, there's love and family and peace on earth and all that crap, but I think turkey is really important too.
This dreadful dry bird that no one eats outside of holidays because it fucking sucks. It's like the chipboard of birds. Tegan's argument for why they cost so much is that they're expensive. I'm like, no, it's a false scarcity. No one wants to breed them except for these two times a year. It's really weird. It's the Valentine's Day of birds, right? It's a manufactured market for a thing that sucks.
The clear highlight of the day already and tomorrow on the Boxing Day of today is, of course, going to be this podcast. It's been an absolute honour. Honestly, to come and chat to you guys as friends, but as entertainers as well. I really admire and respect what you guys are doing. I think it's really special.
Oh, thanks, mate. Thank you so much. And a preemptive Merry Christmas.
And a preemptive Merry Christmas to you too, Paul. And Tegan, I'll see you at the work party.
Well, I'm pretty sure I've upset most of the world listening to this show with my bizarre and very angry opinions on gift giving. I don't think I'm wrong, by the way.
You are wrong. You absolutely are, Paul. And I will put that out to the audience. If you agree with Paul, let us know. If you vehemently disagree, also... let us know, you know, weigh in, basically. But thank you for joining us for another episode of the 12 Days of Dishmas. We'll be back tomorrow morning with chart-topping fantasy author and an incredibly accomplished home baker. You're going to absolutely love her. Her name's Violetta Mbargia, and she has the most wonderful take on Christmas that I've heard yet.
In the meantime, make sure you tell everyone about this ridiculous thing we're doing, because we're not even halfway there. We're not even a third of the... I can't do maths anymore. It's been incredible so far. Thank you for all the love. We will see you first thing tomorrow morning for more of the 12 Days of Dishmas.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.